In this video, we'll continue looking at our ASP.NET 2.0 quiz engine that we've been working on, and we'll start by looking at snapshot number 4. I had two basic goals in this snapshot, and the first was to tackle the problem of saving the test results into the database. So let's set up the scenario. First of all, the user is going to select which test he wants to take. By selecting that, he'll go to the start page and then continue on to the questions.aspx page, where he'll iteratively continue to go through each of the questions, answering choice 1, 2, 3, or 4, and then when all the questions have been addressed, the user is then taken to the results.aspx page. Okay, so right now we're able to display the results to the user. As you recall, in the previous video, we looked at how we're displaying those results. First of all, they'll be able to see the question, the correct answer, their answer, and the result, whether it was correct or incorrect. And then by selecting one of the links on the left-hand side, they'll be able to look at the details for that given question. They'll be able to see the actual text of the question, the four answers that were available, the correct answer, and then the explanation as to why the correct answer was indeed correct. Okay, but at this point we have not saved the results in the database. And recall that we wanted to do this so that we could provide the user with a historical record of each time they took the quiz and what the results were. And then we're going to display those results in the default.aspx page, which is actually the second thing that we wanted to accomplish in this snapshot. So if we were to take a look at the login view and change from the default view to logged in template, we can see that we would then be able to view the test result history in this second data grid. Ideally, the user would be able to view the name of the quiz, the date timestamp when they completed it, the number of correct answers they gave, and the number of total questions. And then ideally, there would be another column where they'd be able to view the percentage correct. And then they'd be able to also review all the available tests, click on one, and then go to and take that particular quiz. Let's start back in the results page, because that's where we need to save the data into the database. And the data is, in this particular case, the number of questions that they got correct, the date timestamp, the username, and the quiz ID. And we're going to store all those into the user quiz table. And so this is precisely what lines 18 through 31 of our code will do that we've just inserted. First of all, we want to make sure that the user is not posting back to this page. So in other words, if the user were to click the select buttons over here, we don't want our code that saves the results in the database to continue to fire each and every time that happens. So instead, we want to make sure that we're not in a postback situation within our page load. And to do that, we check the isPostback property of our page object to make sure that it's false. So only perform this code if we are coming to it for the first time. And so this is where now in lines 20 through 29, where we're actually creating a new SQL data source, setting the connection string, setting the insert command, filling in insert parameters, and then calling the insert method to actually perform the insertion into the database. Okay, so the connection string should be self-explanatory. First of all, let me start here in line 20. Up to this point, we've only seen where we have dragged and dropped a data source from either our toolbox or from the data menu of a Visual Web Developer. However, in this particular case, we're creating one strictly from code. So that's maybe the first time you've seen us do that, at least in this series of videos. But it's very simple to do this. We've created a new instance of it. All we got to do is set the connection string and set the insert command, or whatever command we want to perform, whether it's a select command, a delete command, or whatever. In this particular case, we're going to insert value, so we're going to call the insert command method and paste in a valid insert SQL command. So insert into user quiz the quiz ID, date time complete, correct answer count, username properties. And then we have defined what we're going to insert, and those are these parameters, which happen to share the same name. The only difference is that they're designated with the little at symbol. Okay, so how do we populate those? Well, we do it through the insertParameters.add method, where we're able to reference each of those insert parameters and then pass in the value we want stored to the database. So we'll pull the quiz ID from our session, we'll pull a date time stamp from our date time object. We're going to hard code the number 12 in just for testing purposes. And then for the username, we're going to use the user object.identity.name property in order to grab that. And that'll give us the value that's essentially being stored within our ASP.NET DB.MDF file for the particular user. Okay? And then we call the insert method. And at that point, the data should be saved into the database. And now the user should be able to go to the default page and then view the results in their historical record of test result history. Okay, so it's at this point where I ran into a few challenges in snapshot number 4. Now, my biggest challenge was performing the calculation of the percentage correct in this test results history. If I'm only storing the total number of correct answers, I have to pair that up with the total number of questions on a given test, and that will require a pretty hairy SQL query, and I think it can be done, and I even got it to kind of work, but then I have to figure out how to perform the percentage calculation either in the SQL query itself or in the control in my little data view here. And after spending about 15, 20, 30 minutes working through this, neither of those really worked out very well. It seemed to me that there must be a better way, and that might be a little bit of a tip for you. If you're working through a problem and it seems like you're really fighting the tool, you're fighting the concept that you come up with, or whatever the case might be, that might be a good time to stop what you're doing and say, am I doing this right? Should it really be this hard? And that's exactly what I did in this particular case. So I opted to rethink the user quiz table design to see if there wasn't a better way to represent the data and save the data so it could be represented more easily in my test result history. So that was the first challenge that I came up against. First of all, before I continue on, let me show you the SQL statement that I had created in order to use the current database schema to accomplish this, or at least try to accomplish it. Let's go ahead and click Configure Data Source, and we'll briefly walk through our Configure Data Source wizard. And so you can see that we have quite a large SQL statement. Let me just break it down quickly for you. First of all, I am doing a join between the user quiz and the quiz tables on the quiz ID. The most difficult aspect of this is the aggregation, the count of the number of question rows for a given quiz. So I do a second join on question and quiz to try to count the number of questions, and then also pull data from quiz and user quiz, such as the title of the quiz, the date time that this user completed it, the correct answer count, the number of questions that we're pulling from this count, and so on. And then I had to get into this group by and having statement in order to make this to kind of work. And before you knew it, I had a pretty big mess on my hands. In fact, at this point, I don't even think the Query Builder can parse through it. Maybe it can here. Okay, so at any rate, it can, but the results were not favorable. So I decided that there had to be another way around this. So that was the first clue that I had that maybe I need to step back a little bit. The second part that I needed to rethink was what I wanted to display in the available tests. It was easy to bind just the title of the given test. I'm also going to need to make a hyperlink for it so I can click the title and then be sent to the start page. I'm going to have to pass some type of variable from default to start so that I can let the start page know which test the user wants to take. So having given that some thought, I might have to change up how my little data list here works, and I'm going to want to add maybe another piece of data. Maybe I want to give a little bit more information about this test, more informative than what the title can indicate. So I may want to add a description field to my database. So there was enough that I needed to change that I needed to stop where I was at and decide that I was going to end Snapshot 4 a little prematurely, back up, and change some things for Snapshot 5 so that I could achieve the results that I really wanted to. So that's what I'm going to do at this point. Okay, so after an hour or so, we're looking at snapshot number 5. The very first thing that I did was made some modifications to the quiz.mdf file. Specifically, let's take a look at the quiz table. Let's go ahead and open the table definition. And you can see that I basically added a new field called description, which I've made a varchar max and allowed it to be null. So this will be included on our default.aspx page after the user logs in, so they have a little bit more descriptive text about what this quiz is all about. Okay, so let's go ahead and close that, and then let's take a look at the user quiz table where we made some more changes, and we'll open up the table definition for this. And the basic change that I made was purely conceptual. I changed the name of this field from something like number of correct answers or something along those lines to simply score. And score will represent a number from 0 to 100, and we'll think of it in terms of a percentage. So, for example, if there are 20 questions on a quiz and the user answers 15 of them correctly, instead of storing the number 15 into our database, we're going to store the number 75, because 15 divided by 20 is 75, or 0.75, 75%. So we'll change what this means from a pure number of correct questions and answers to more of just a score basis, because whenever we think about tests, we think of scores in those terms, and it may not be so pertinent for us to remember the actual numbers of questions right and wrong and things of that nature. So that was the fundamental change that we made to this, basically just the name and the intent of one of the columns within our user quiz table. And as you might imagine, this would force us to change some things within our application. Let's start with the results page because we have a more full implementation of this now. Actually, let's take a look at the results.aspx.vb page. And so we've modified the code that we formerly had in lines, I believe it was like 17 through 31. Now if you take a look in lines 22 through, I guess the end of that method, we've added some additional code. Here you can see that first of all, we're going to calculate the score by obtaining the number of questions for the current answer list. And you recall this is our array list that we've been storing in our session object that we pulled out a little bit earlier in our code. So from the previous code we already had where we're grabbing our array list from the session object, we're just going to count how many answer items are in our array list. Then we're going to create a variable called correct, so that will allow us to determine how many answers were correct. And so in lines 29 through approximately 35, we're going to determine how many correct answers versus how many incorrect answers. Every time we find a correct answer, we're going to increment our correct variable by 1. Now, how do we determine whether an answer is correct or not? Well, essentially, we're going to loop through our answer list, and for each item in our answer list, we're going to convert it back into an answer object, and then check to see if the current result is equal to this answer.resultValue.correct. Now, what is this? It's basically a replacement for those magic strings that I had within our answer class. So let's take a look at AnswerVB just briefly. Let's scroll down to the bottom of that. And notice now that instead of my result property, my read-only result property returning a string of correct or incorrect, Notice that in lines 47 through 50, I've added an enumeration called result value, either correct or incorrect. So that is what's being returned from our result property. And you should always try to use enumerations rather than use hard-coded magic strings, as they're called. And so there's some degree of consistency. You won't have to worry about misspellings and things of that nature. So it's strongly typed. So back here, we're just going to see if our result property for the current answer is either correct or incorrect. If it's correct, then we're going to add one to our correct count. And then once we've determined and finished looking through each answer, we're going to calculate our score. So dim score is double. And we'll take the correct answers divided by the total number of questions and then multiply that by 100. And that will give us the number that we'll store then in our new score column in our user quiz table. So in lines 39 through 46, this should look very familiar. The only change that we made here is the name. We changed from the word test to a more descriptive word for our SQL data source. We're calling it user quiz data source. We also, in line 41, where we're creating the insert command, we changed the column name, or rather we should have changed this. Let me go ahead and do that now to score. Let's go ahead and make that change here as well. And then change this to score. So obviously I've overlooked a few things here. And we'll do something like toString. All right. And then as you can see, what we've done here is call our insert statement. But this time we're going to retrieve the number of rows that were affected. If zero rows were affected once we call the insert method, that means we had a problem. So we're going to display this somewhere on our results.aspx page. We're basically going to say there was a problem saving your quiz results in the database. Therefore, the results from this quiz will not be displayed in the list on the main menu. And let's go ahead and take a look at where those will show up. You can see here we have an error label, and that will actually contain some text only if there was a problem saving things into the database. Also notice that we have a new link, return to main menu, and when the user clicks this, now they'll be able to look at the historical record of their score. So let's take a look at that next. Okay, so I'm going to open up the default.aspx. Let's go to the design view. And so right off the bat, notice that we have changed our little data list that contains our the available tests. Notice now that there's a hyperlink and the second little area underneath, which will contain our description. So let's go ahead, crack that open, and take a look at the edit templates, where we'll see the item template. And what I've done is dragged over a hyperlink, which, let's go ahead and hit F4 and look at the properties for this. You can see has a data-bound property of text and navigate URL. So let's take a look at the bound properties for this. Edit data bindings. Notice that the text property has a custom binding expression, eval title. So we'll basically take the current data item, according to our SQL data source, the current item, and bind that to the title property of our data source to the text property of our hyperlink. And then, more importantly, notice what we're going to do with the navigate URL. We need some way to send a indicator to the start.aspx page of which test the user wants to take. And the way that I've chosen to do that is through the query string. So I've modified the custom binding code expression to basically start.aspx. Notice there's a question mark. That'll be our query string indicator. Test ID equals, and then we're going to use eval quiz ID. So we're going to send the quiz ID. Currently we only have two quizzes, one or two, but as many as we possibly could have. That'll be added, so that'll be the navigate URL once the user clicks on one of the hyperlinks. So let's go ahead and cancel that. And then let's look at our description label and edit data bindings for that. Notice that we're simply just using the eval description, the new field in our database. Let's go ahead and cancel that as well. So let's go ahead and end template editing. We can see now that we have a list of available tests that's a little bit more what we originally had in mind. It'll have the title, which will be hyperlinked. When we click on that hyperlink, it'll bring us to the start page, and then the description for each of the available tests. We'll come back to this thought in just a moment. But let's continue on and take a look at the test result history. You can see that we've cleaned it up quite a bit. Now we'll just have a quiz column, which will contain the name of the quiz, the date, time completed, and then finally the score. And recall that this will be a score in terms of percentages. So this also greatly simplifies our SQL data source. Let's go ahead and click Configure Data Source and take a look at the query that we'll need. We're still going to have to do a join between quiz and user quiz in order to pull out the title of the quiz, the date time complete for the user's instance of the quiz, the score from the user quiz, and so on. But you can see that's greatly simplified as a result of our database change. Okay, so let's go ahead and give this a shot. I'm going to run this just to see how far we've come. Okay, so let's go ahead and try logging in. Admin as the username. Pass at word 1 as our password. Click login. And now look what we see. We have our available tests. They're formatted the way that we wanted them. We have our little links here that give some response whenever we hover our mouse cursor over them. That's a result of the CSS that the graphic artist created for us. And then also a description of each of our available tests. Notice that when I hover my mouse cursor over one of the links in the status bar, that we have the query string of test ID equals either 1 or test ID equals 2. Let's come back to that concept in just a moment and look at how it's implemented on the start page. Also, we have our test result history. Now, notice some of these early tests were as a result of of the old code where we were keeping track of the actual number of correct answers. Now in these last two tests, we've moved to a percentile where we've actually got, as you can see, 75% correct, 3 out of 4 in this particular case. Okay, so now when I click a test to take it again, so I'm going to take this Bridge of Death test, now I come to the start page, start ASPX, and passing in as a query string test ID equals 1. So how does the start page know that I want to work with test ID equals 1? What does it do with that information? Well, before we go on, let's go ahead and look at that. So we're going to open up the start.aspx.vb page and look at the new code that we've added here. Notice that we're testing to make sure, first of all, on line 23, that our query string is not empty. So we don't want to allow them to go any further if test ID equals nothing. We'll send them back to the default.aspx page. However, if there is something in our test ID query string parameter, then we're going to save off that value as an integer, test ID. We're going to parse it out of the request.query string test ID. And then in line 25, we're going to add that to our session. Now, we've already had this line of code, but we hard-coded it to the value of 1. Now we've replaced that with the dynamic value that we're pulling from the query string. Okay, so that's how we made that work. So let's run it one more time and go put it through its full paces here. We'll go through admin, pass at word 1, and then click login. This time we'll take the what's next at Microsoft quiz, and we'll just hopefully get one or two of these correct so we can demo this. And it looks like we got 3 out of 4 correct. That's great. Let's return to the main menu, and this will show us our test history. This is the most recent test we took, and you can see that it indeed was completed on this date and the score 75%. Okay, so we're getting very close to the functionality that we originally desired whenever we were designing our application. Some of the things that we need to do are revisit the code to make sure that we have good exception handling in place. We'll want to just comb through the code, make sure it's well documented. We'll want to add some skinning features to the application so that the user can select a different skin. And then also we'll want to talk about how we're going to deploy this application out to our web server. So that will conclude snapshot number 5 and conclude this video. We'll pick this back up in the next video. Thank you.